My name is Todd Eisler. I'm a Champaign resident. I would like to begin with a quote. Instead of asking how much damage will the work in question bring about, why not ask how much good, how much joy? Henry Miller, The Air-Conditioned Nightmare. Those protesting the chief seem unwilling to even think of asking how much good, how much joy as far as this symbol is concerned. In other words, they refuse to see the possibilities of good in any point of view other than their own. And that is what I find so disheartening, that those who constantly scream for respect are now showing no respect for any viewpoint other than their own narrow one, and that the same ones who are calling for tolerance will show absolutely no tolerance for anyone else's opinion. This is especially distressing and bitterly ironic in the case of the English department's recent call to end the chief's reign. One would think one of the very first to step forward in defending a form of expression under attack would be the English department of a university. Instead, this one has sadly chosen to join in the fray. There was something which caused a similar controversy back in 1928, when the American Hebrew and Jewish Tribune demanded that a certain corporation pull from its inventory an item, stating the quote, "We charged them with an attempt to cash in on the misery and catastrophe of an important section of the human family," unquote. Does that sound similar to a few of the anti-chief arguments that the university is cashing in by participating in the humiliation of a defeated people? The corporation in question was Houghton Mifflin, and the item was Mein Kampf, a work that can definitely be said to contain stereotypes. Another time, something was demanded by the public to be removed from a public school because, quote, it advocated institutionalized racism and was harmful to the integration process. Was this a school mascot? No, it was the book by Harper Lee, To Kill a Mockingbird. And what of The Grapes of Wrath, which has been attacked by the public for its portrayal of women, or The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn? Both decried as racist by members of the public and both removed from schools. What am I trying to establish? That the groups who want the chief censored are themselves censored? No. But more than simply the bitter irony of this university's English department calling for the head of Chief Illiniwek, I am trying to establish the idea that there lies a connection between those who demanded the removal of those books and those who are now demanding the removal of the chief. If you still doubt, consider the NAACP, which has called for the removal of Chief Illiniwek, has also in the past stood as one of the foremost groups demanding the removal of Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn from the shelves of school libraries, as well as To Kill a Mockingbird. I am attempting to make you see that Chief Illiniwek is a form of expression, just as the books I've mentioned were also forms of expression, and those who are demanding his immediate removal from this university's football field are the same sort who would demand the removal of those books from this university's library. To touch upon their argument that his presence dehumanizes Native Americans in the eyes of others. This idea that allowing people to be exposed to certain forms of negative expression may compel them to act in a certain way, and therefore the solution is to ban said form of expression, is to take the blame off the shoulders where it belongs, the listener, not the speaker. For I strongly believe that whatever we may be exposed to, as individuals, we are ultimately responsible for deciphering that information, for digesting it, and for whatever actions we choose to take based upon said digestion. Thirdly, if a certain idea can possibly be seen as having a dehumanizing effect, I still insist the best solution is to counter with humanizing speech, also aimed at the target group. For obviously, if they say that speech, talk about negative speech, whatever, speech can have a negative effect, obviously the counter speech should have a positive effect. Instead of just calling for the removal, how about countering with positive speech? In 1995, the Federal Department of Education Civil Rights Office ruled, after an investigation of this issue, that the chief does not create a hostile environment for Native Americans. And I would like to conclude with a quote. It's from John Stuart Mill's work on liberty. The peculiar evil of silencing the expression of an opinion is that it is robbing the human race, posterity as well as the existing generation, those who dissent from the opinion still more than those who hold it. If the opinion is right, they are deprived of the opportunity of exchanging error for truth. If it's wrong, they lose what is almost as great a benefit, the clearer perception and livelier impression of truth produced by its collision with error. Thank you.